Okay. Got a clue. Oh, well, maybe more than one. But this is an immensely energetic, active time. And part of this has to do with that the Earth changes that are coming. And I remember writing about this, and I don't know, it's been 20 years ago. it's been a while. Talking about, you know, putting out this distant future, Earth changes, and not really knowing what that meant. Just the climate shift and all this stuff. And now experiencing this, and at that point, it was the guidance that was coming was that we would need to prepare ourselves and just know. And it wasn't meant to be in any way, shape, or form a negative or a warning, as some have interpreted it as some big, dire, catastrophic, imminent doom and gloom kind of thing. And that isn't what it's about. It's about natural in our lives, our history, the species, the planet, the whole nine yards, evolution. And evolution requires shifting, changing, evolving on many levels, not just the physical level, the consciousness level, and not just us, but the rocks, the animals, the earth, everything is going through this transition. Now, I didn't have a way to integrate or put that into some kind of a tangible form at the time. I just knew, okay, this is what's happening. And now going through it, I'm beginning to get a better appreciation for what happens with this stuff. Because as we shift and change, the instruction at the time was that it would be a little bit more chaotic and a little bit more discombobulated. They would cause some shatterings of old paradigms, some very real challenges that required us to maybe rethink who and what we are and what we experience as reality. So as this is happening right now, and I'm going back and adding the various little pieces of the puzzle of me, people are reporting more encounters with all sorts of beings, not just UFOs, not just ETs, not just ghosts, but the wide dynamic of Sasquatch, of little people, of entities of all different kinds, and saying they're seeing them more. And it isn't because they're more active. It's because we're able to see things we couldn't before, because we have changed. We are accelerating. Our vibration is shifting, and we are upgrading and enhancing our conscious awareness. Now, part of that is a bit uncomfortable. I don't know if you've noticed, but I have had a lot of people, friends and people I didn't even have any contact with, come up and have a conversation about how they're hearing the ears. They're hearing a frequency they haven't heard before. They're hearing tones or this high-pitched whine or different kinds of. And those are, for now, that I have realized what's going on here and had some other things that would happen at the same time as the tone would hit. Those are, in some cases, intentional. In other cases, a part of this amping up of the energy. So getting into seeing and being, redoing a house right now and taking pictures, because at one point I felt there were two bodies in the house. And I'm, you know, that's kind of creepy to say that or feel that, or at least is for me. Like, I have a feeling there's a couple of bodies buried under the house. Okay, yeah, that's great. Tell me more. Well, okay, so at that point, I'm thinking, what am I really saying? And what is this? I couldn't get anything stronger than that. So I just left it alone and thought, well, it must be something I'm just picking up on something else and might be off base on that. There's always a chance that there might be some kind of another reason. You're around somebody else, something's happened, something shifted, a movie, you know, something else has thrown this little piece, you have something haywire. Well, so when we went to redo the hardwood floor, there were two possums that had been petrified that are under, unlike Harry Potter, not that kind of petrified. Well, kind of. You can't bring them back to life with the special little plant. Anyway, they were done. And what we figured out, my husband's at one point, the way they used to get rid of termites and those kinds of pests was they would tent the house and fumigate and put the pesticide, which is really not good for humans. They've discovered. Anyway, amazing how that works. The problem was that the possums had made a space under the house. And so when they got rid of the termites, the possums went with them. Heaven, see you, bye. So that's, but the thing was, there were the two bodies. And so that initial thing I had of, you know, I just think there are a couple of bodies. It's like, okay, is this a metaphor or is this literal? Well, it was literal and they were animals. And so some of the stuff that I've had with my intuition, I've had to really remember to keep a firm grip on just letting it be a piece of information and not projecting or reading into it, because it would be a little bit frightening if I thought that this was a, you know, something above and beyond just two animals that had been trapped, unfortunately, by the toxic stuff that they used to get rid of the other pests in the house. So that being said, that was the same thing that I did when I got the information about the coming earth changes. And that was in one of the channelings that I got when I wrote the book, Talking to Nightlights, talking about just matter-of-factly about this was going to be happening. And we would need to be aware that it is just part of this transition phase. And so that it's a way of integrating information without overreacting or in some way, shape, or form, projecting a dramatic outcome that isn't necessarily going to play out that way. And a lot of this stuff right now, I am seeing as a result of this amping up of energy. I just did an interview with the people, Cheryl and Orville Murphy, of the Board Camp Crystal Mine. It's in Arkansas. And this is a really, really fascinating story. And the reason I'm sharing it is because it's very similar to what's happening for other people at this time. And we all live in different energy spots on the planet. There's no place that is lacking of some kind of an energetic signature. The deal is some are more compatible and conducive to having a person live in the space. And it also depends on your own energy and what you are triggered by, what drains you, what fuels you. Those kinds of things are important. I know when I lived and moved to Sedona, I lived there for a short time, I knew I couldn't stay there because the energy was going to be too, for me, too amped up to be around 24/7. So some of these places, I know it. I have to go to a place that's energetically a little bit more quiet, a little bit more stable, a little bit less emphatic, expressive, and dynamic. So I've learned that. But to describe this isn't always easy. And that's what I've had a real difficult time telling people. I don't feel good in this space. There's something that is out of sync with my own sense of feeling. And when the energy really ramps up, and when I start channeling as in, you know, getting a lot of information in a very short amount of time, it can be overwhelming and I can get a headache and I can balance that out. I found that the aspirin, Advil, those things don't work. They don't attack it. They don't address it on the right level. And energy imbalance for me, hematite, really worked well. And that helped ground and calm, smooth out the energy. So the waves didn't, you know, keep crashing and causing more and more disruption. But I'm talking about this right now because of all of this increase in activity. I've had several people tell me that they are experiencing, and this is what's different. Before, people didn't talk about it and they didn't know what to say. And now they're talking about it. We are sharing our stories. And this is huge, because when you have access to more information, sometimes you can come up with better conclusions and better assessments of a situation, instead of just, you know, getting very limited information and very few corroborative kinds of stories and no witnesses. And it's all conjecture based on the old knowledge and the old paradigm, the old way of seeing things, which is at this point becoming really, really inadequate. It doesn't explain the dynamics. And when we're dealing with things like ETs and trans-dimensional beings, those physics we don't have the math to make this add up, to quantify it on the level that it makes it real in our space. So that has to change. The only way it can change is to have more people experience it, more people understand it, more people who know math, put the pen and pencil, paper, whatever, brain, the mind in gear and start writing down new ways of factoring information. At this time, there is so much information coming through that it can be overpowering, and so many instances of things that don't make sense. A friend called me and she said that she's having problems with things disappearing. Her way of tackling that is to say, all right, I appreciate the contact. I would like my stuff back. Maybe, you know, we're not having the exact dialogue that she has. That's her magic, okay? But she did say, this is happening and I took care of it. And I know her. So, but other people who have had the same experience, because I've talked to more than a few recently, which that's what tells me the energy's amping up along with all these earth changes and the storms. The storm, there's a lot of energy that comes in with storms. Wind is a tremendous energy. And when you talk with people who are familiar with being outside and outdoors and understanding how it feels when the storm comes in, there's an electricity in the air. Well, we have electrical elements that are part of us as physical beings, and that is something that we can be affected by. Whether people talk about it, that doesn't matter. It's once you begin to realize and experience these things, it doesn't go away. You become more able to deal with it and to balance it and shift and counter. And a lot of this has to do with we are in a cycle now that requires, if you are sensitive, if you are aware of this kind of thing, then you have the tools to counter and balance, not counterbalance, but counter and balance, because that is what's happening. This stuff can be very disconcerting. It's a chaotic kind of energy. In other words, it isn't always in some way, shape, or form predictable. It has a different outcome than it has in the past. So before, if you misplace something, you would go right to it and pick it up. Now, if you misplace it, there could have been a time shift. And go back and read with read Cynthia Sue Larson's information about those kinds of things, because she talks about quantum jumps and time shifting. Well, it's been going on for a long time, and people have mostly, people who are familiar with paranormal and shamanic type experiences, or even that higher ascended being type with the religious experiences, Eastern mystic type experiences. These things are not new. They may not have been as widely experienced and in any way, shape, or form talked about. So that's why right now it's important, if you are having these kinds of experiences, before you jump to the conclusion, say, oh, I'm nuts. Oh, I'm imagining it. Oh, it's not real. Oh, it will just go away. I'll take a pill. These aren't the situations that are going to be improved with any kind of medicine. And what you can do, though, is understand, as you learn to incorporate and integrate this kind of knowing and awareness, then you can come to terms with what ways might be helpful. And in some ways, sound is helpful. Some people, they will do toning, or they will do chants, they will do mantras, or they will listen to music. Those kinds of things are energetically complementary. They help balance. So if you have a time when you're feeling incredibly overstimulated, then balancing that with something to counter that energy is very helpful. And I had no awareness, no understanding how incredibly helpful working with stones and rocks and that kind of element would be until I met my husband, Andy. And Andy's been working with this. There are people that are rock people. They know all the rocks. They collect them. They keep them. Each one has its own little characteristic. Each one has its own personality. And whether they talk about it the way somebody who actually studies it, you know, archaeology or something, it doesn't make any difference. They have an appreciation for what the energy of that rock being represents. And so once I got into a better state of receptivity, I developed greater appreciation for that. Now, it didn't mean I was not totally averse when I first started doing the channeling. That's before I was working with Andy or met Andy, re-met. We've known each other for a long time. But I was working with a woman who's a Native American energy worker, and she helped me with a couple of sessions and, well, several instances where I was given information that was incredibly helpful. And then she said I could buy some jewelry from her. And so she gave me this beautiful, she gave me a couple pieces to try, gave me a beautiful bracelet that I wore, and it burned. It burned my wrist. I'm like, wow, why? What is this about? Why is it burning my wrist? And I couldn't wear it. It was too hot. It's a hematite. Hematite is naturally, most response to that is going to be that it's cooling, that it cools things down. And that is what I used. I used a necklace to help when I would channel to help me release some of that over amp energy. But what she told me, and now I understand and appreciate what that information means, she made that. She made the pieces. She created the necklace, or there's a necklace too, but she created the bracelet, and it had a little heart shape, and had to cut the stones and the whole nine yards, put it all together. Well, her energy in creating that piece was incompatible with mine. She's working at a different frequency. And so it changed the dynamic of the jewels. So when you buy something at an estate sale that is somebody else's jewelry, it could very well have a different energy signature that will be compatible or incompatible or neutral. And it's good to know those kinds of things. I also had a piece of jewelry that I wore for quite some time until it broke. It was an interesting thing. It was an amethyst ring, and it broke. It broke because it needed to get rid of the energy. The energy was too solid, too locked, and it was not. Again, it wasn't compatible with my energy. So basically, the setting came undone, and when we reset it, the energy was my energy. It was different, and that's real, very very tiny interpretation and perspective on that. There's a lot more to this that it can't really be said. It's a matter of living through it and understanding how to integrate it and how it works for each and every individual. Working with the house again, going over where the animals were, the two were found. You bless the space and say thank you for the knowing, and thank you for, you know, being able to release that energy and acknowledge that it needed to be integrated. And that when that happens, there was no intent at the time that house was being taken care of to harm anything. And this was like an inadvertent action. But there was still a need to acknowledge the presence and to say, go in peace. You know, that kind of thing is there because we're going to be in the space. And by allowing that this is also a sacred space and blessing the space, it allows the energy to be released and to go forward. And that's not the energy necessarily of the animals, but the stagnant, the chi, the life force that is blocked and that has been in decay in that space. So you're going back through and reclaiming the space, blessing it, saying thank you, and everything goes forward. So putting new, fresh energy into the environment makes a huge, huge difference. And if we had not decided to basically go to the bones of the house, that might have been continued to be covered up and stagnant. So as we're doing the same thing in the kitchen floor, I've got the picture that I'm going back through and seeing, okay, yeah, I went before and after. I don't always do that, but this one I've got want to do before and after. And there's a lovely little orb right there in the lower right portion of the picture. And sometimes you see the orbs and they're really beautiful. They're delicate. All these that looks like a mandala, and they're delicate and they're very fine inscriptions. And to me, orbs are like snowflakes. They're all different. Each one is unique because it's an energy signature. So it's indicative of whatever energy's in that space. Well, this one's kind of a fat little orb. I don't know how to explain it, but I know how to explain it. Actually, I do. Okay. If you've ever seen earthworms and they go through and they make their little trails on the ground, this looks like a circle with an earthworm who's plowed a couple trails through it. Okay. So kind of chunky. So it has its own unique energy signature, but because it looks like that, and because there's nothing anywhere remotely related on any of the other pictures, then to me, that's how I interpret this, is the energy signature of that space. And no bad, no good, no, it is the defining signature for a being, an element, an essence that is present in that space. And we released it by getting rid of all of the decay that has been in that place for a very, very, very long time. These things, I think, are happening and in greater numbers of people because of the shifting frequencies and energies of the planet. And all of this intense weather and intense, as a result, politics and intense emotions all across the board triggers old energy. And it helps get it out and it helps clear it. In the meantime, living and working in the chaos and the natural flow of all of that can be challenging. So that's where coming back into counter and balance is important. There are a couple of pictures that I had that had orbs and reminded me years ago that this, you know, the space, we have company, whether we see them or not. If you sense them, then you have a better appreciation that you're not going to see everything. I brought home a pillow from an estate sale, and in the last few years, I've frequented fewer estate sales because sometimes the people there talk to you. And, you know, it's like, yeah, I have to remember, because that's also an energy. It kind of dings your energy when you're going into those spaces too. Sometimes it's draining, sometimes it's amplifying. It's always different. So I come home with this Winnie the Pooh pillow. At least, you know, I'm thinking this is fun. It's a kid's cartoon. I like Winnie the Pooh. The pillow's it's cute. And then I take a picture of the couch, and there's a Winnie the pillow with right beside it the orb. So apparently it brought its person with it and sat on the couch for a little while. But that was another one. And then my neighbor across the street, he died. I went over to visit his daughter, who was cleaning out the house, and I happened to see there were a couple of happy face mugs. And I asked if she was going to have a garage sale, because I was going to make a bid, you know, buy the mugs. And she said, no, they were just getting rid of all of that stuff. And I don't remember saying specifically. I think I let her know I thought they were great. But I didn't say anything. And I had seen her father. He was on an oxygen tank at that point. He would walk around the neighborhood with a dog. And so never saying anything more than hi. But and then 2 or 3 days later, the doorbell rings. It was something, I don't know why I did what I did. Oh, I do too. Okay. It took me a moment. I have had a lamp with like six different colored light bulbs, globes on it. And one of the globes, the yellow globe, went out. So I was taking a picture of the lamp because a yellow globe went out. The doorbell rang and I go to the door, and here is the daughter with two happy face mugs, and said, I thought you would like these. When I went back to look at that picture, on the lamp was the orb. And I remembered, oh yeah, the yellow light, that's what I was taking the picture for. But her father had let her know that he wanted to give me a gift. And so she gave me the mugs. These are little tiny bits and pieces of living in a world with a different kind of approach, a different kind of awareness. And I'm not the only one who does this. I'm just saying that this is how it works for me. And these are the experiences that I've had. And that as we share our stories and we compare our notes, we learn the world is so much more in many ways deeper and textured than we deal with on the day-to-day. And that's what's happening now in so many ways. These textures are beginning to have exposure. We're able to look into these bits and pieces of fabric and go, wow, what's in this room? We can explore it. It's expanding. And our awareness is also expanding with it. Going to take a break quickly, but just wanted to get this topic going because of all of the changes right now and more people coming to me and saying, I'm missing things. Why are they playing with me like this? How come it's something negative attaching to me? And that's what I wanted to turn the topic on and turn the awareness away from as a negativity back into what's the point? What's the purpose? What's the message? Why? That's what we need to be asking right now. The point, the purpose, the why, what next? Because that's what we're going to discover. All part of conscious living. Back in a few.
So you see, son, good manners are very, very important. Someday, many years from now, when you're a grown-up, you'll be a man. And when you are, you should be a gentleman. Do you want me to go through it one more time?
Yes.
Yes, please.
Yes, please.
Exactly. Always say please, thank you, you're welcome, and excuse me. Sit up straight, hold doors open for ladies. If a door's shut, then knock first. Don't burp, don't swear, don't speak with your mouth full, don't reach across people's plates, keep your elbows off the table.
What table?
And don't interrupt. While we're at it, don't stare, don't use foul language, don't call people names, but do remember people's names. Always share your toys, play nice, and cover your mouth when you cough or sneeze. On the bus, give up your seat to anyone who has trouble standing. Bottom line, treat others the way you'd like to be treated. Got it?
Got it.
And stop picking your nose.
Most parenting is hard to do in just 2 minutes. But spending just 2 minutes twice a day making sure they brush their teeth is easier and could help save them from a lifetime of tooth pain. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. That's 2min2x.org. A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ag Council.
Today might be the day I drop out of school. Today could be the last day I try. My parents alone can't stop me. My friends can't even stop me. But you might be able to. With United Way, you could tutor me, be my mentor, or volunteer to just read with me. If someone had helped me earlier, I might not be struggling. And studies prove that kids who read well by third grade are more likely to graduate. There are tons of ways people like you can help kids like me stay in school. And United Way is calling for you to be one of them. Because it takes 12 years to create a graduate. It takes about the same time to create a dropout. And the difference between me becoming one or the other could be you. Make me a success, not a statistic.
Take the pledge to volunteer now at unitedway.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Dave, what are you doing?
Just sending a gift to Dave 2037.
Who?
Me in the future. I save a little money from every paycheck as a gift to Dave 2037, so he can spend it on things like anti-gravity boots or a hologram Doberman, something cool like that. I think Dave 2037 deserves it. He worked hard. What are you getting Steve 2037?
I guess I was thinking Steve 2037 would just fend for himself.
Well, all right, but don't expect to be borrowing my anti-gravity boots.
You want to have money in your future? You got to start saving now. Putting some money from every paycheck into a savings account or contributing to your 401k can make a big difference later. Put away a few bucks, feel like $1 million. For free ideas and easy ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's feedthepig.org.
Hey, let's just hope Steve 2037 doesn't get his hands on a cold time machine, because he is going to come back here and knock some sense into you.
I'm sitting here playing with my equipment. Yeah, trying to figure out if I turn my microphone on or off. You'd think I've been doing this long enough to figure out if it was on or off. No, little technical things like that. It's like, what the heck was I doing playing with my new cards? The other thing too, is I've been pulling out, just going back through and seeing, well, how long have I been doing this? Because some of this is old hat and some of it's brand new. The new stuff has to do with people coming in and telling me, hey, I'm missing these items. And I am really, really getting upset because this is no fun. And like I said, one friend said the same thing. And she just said, we had a little chat. And the fun thing about this is that they just appear. They appear. Not where they left, but where they were, you know, some way, shape, or form going to be seen. And she's real open and, you know, just, yeah, yeah, this is annoying. I've had this happen. I'm noticing. But just out of the blue saying that, somebody else told me that there was a, I can't remember if it was a pair of earrings. Anyway, another friend had the same thing. They were looking for this thing that was missing, and walked through the room and heard a noise. And there it is. There it is. So the fact that there are two or three people telling me these stories gives me a timeline. It gives me a synchronicity. It gives me a signature that says this is increasing. And for it to be not just one person, but several who are undergoing these same kinds of, and to me, it's an expansion experience where each person will have their own response. That's important. You're not, this isn't a cookie cutter thing. This is a, how do you respond? And that is the challenge, because the way you choose to respond then flavors that relationship. So if you respond with aggression and anger, most likely it isn't going to return. But if you respond with curiosity, okay, maybe it's going to return. Then usually there's a 50-50. And yeah, these numbers are arbitrary. But there's more likely a chance, since you're not adversarial and aggressive and threatening, that it'll come back. But what I have seen with two or three, the most likely response to get a result is a, okay, I would like it back. Just an acknowledgement that yes, this has happened. I have respect for your ability to shift my reality, and I would like my item back. Now, this isn't something that we are all going to do at the same time in the same way. And you can read 100 books. I've read more. And you'll have 100 different ways to work with this energy and 100 different definitions of what the energy is and how it works. But until we start sharing our stories on a broader scale of how each of us deals with this, and then come up with most likely scenarios that are going to be in some way, shape, or form productive and produce a positive result, then we're going to be shadow dancing, trying to figure out where the light is and why it won't come on, and being afraid of things that really aren't necessarily meant to scare us. They're meant to open us up to the larger reality, to the wider spectrum of our reality. And it does that on several levels. So working with the folks that I just interviewed for Wendy's Coffee House, the Board Camp Crystal Mine, they had an experience last year in February. And the name Orville, that's he's the husband, and the wife is also part of the story, Cheryl. The Murphys have owned the mine for several years, and they open it up. It's a surface mine, so you go and you dig for crystals or shovel, you know, you pick up crystals off the surface. You don't have to go into anything. They wanted to keep that to basically keep the integrity of the space. So it is certified as a mine that you can go and you can search for crystals. And now they are doing paranormal experiences where you can go and possibly have an encounter with something unexplainable, daytime or nighttime. It depends. You can check it out on their site. And plus, I'm updating this on the Wendy's Coffee House blog. But the deal with this is they didn't believe in anything like this, nor did they have any interest. This wasn't some, you know, big old dream. It was they wanted to do the mine, and that was going to be fun. Well, apparently last February, they looked out, and among the other things that they had seen, the little lights in the woods, like fireflies, only it's the middle of winter, so there's no fireflies, but they would see the little sparkles, little light sparkles. And so they were looking that night to see sparkles, and this shaft of light is out there. First, she said it was a glow that kind of illuminated the trees. And then there's this shaft, and there's like three shafts of light. And like, what the heck? No explanation, didn't know what it was. Now, I think it was wise they didn't go out there that night, because the next day when they did go out, there was a huge energy signature, an imprint that changed the metal in the area. They had fence posts and things like that that were bent. And there was a big sign. She said that even the wind, it had to be a super strong wind to be able to change that. And that was one of the things that made a real big impact, was this space changed, and they had it measured. So a friend called MUFON, and they dealt with them, and they went out and said that the information that they had did say that this is a very, it's an active place, and there's something going on. They don't have an explanation for it. Of course, all sorts of potentials and possibilities and explanations have been thrown out or suggested, but there's still no answer. However, the cool thing is, there's still no answer, and there is still an ongoing presence. So they're opening it to the public so that people can go and actually have their own experience. And that's part of what I think is such a wonderful opportunity at this time, is that people can open themselves to experiences that might not have been accessible. There are a lot of other people, according to MUFON, who have these spaces that are active, but they do not allow anybody to come, you know, in and out. This is a different scenario. It is meant to be a public space. And actually, Orville and Cheryl are saying, you know, this doesn't belong to us. And it's bigger than that. So these are the things I see increasing, the activation that's underway. And if you go to a place like that, what they said, they've had people go in and who had a headache and the headache went away. The energy shifts. And so there is a feeling in the space. Now, I've been in places, both, you know, had two feelings. When there's sometimes a lot of rock energy and it's heavy energy, then I will feel drained more quickly, because my husband is really good with rocks. I can take them in certain doses. And honestly, to explain it, if you are somebody who's a little bit more higher frequency or higher energy, then the type of rock you're going to deal with is a little different too. And most of the time that I've been around people who are very, very, well, you know, this even sounds goofy talking about it the way I am, but I am. It's the way I make it make sense. The people who are more able to tolerate a lot of rocks, like rock dealers, they have a heavier energy. And that isn't a negative. That's the way they work the energy. And that's that they are compatible, and they can be in the same room with a bunch of rocks and not get headaches or feel drained. And for me, if I'm in that space, I will feel overwhelmed. And so that is something I notice physically that is a difference. And when you're sensitive and when you're intuitive and when you've got some of these other abilities that you work with, you have to learn how to make sense of it and how to integrate what you're working with, and then go to the next level of, okay, now I've got this, and then something else will change. And as we're going through these earth changes and having more really intense weather experiences, catastrophes, then this is going to shift on a massive scale, the population of the planet. And it's not happening at this moment. In some places, it already has happened. But the stuff that is a fallout of the change with all of the terrestrial or planetary, you know, surface changes will be migrations of animals and people. And that's something that's coming. As that happens, that also changes the energy of the space. It changes the energy of what's happening around you. And as you start to feel in some way, shape, or form more intuitive, more aware, more conscious, then you're going to have certain things that will suddenly be, you might have considered them paranormal before, but just mind expanding encounters. And whether it involves another entity or a ghost or, you know, an ET, I call them, the ones I've experienced, transdimensionals. They're not necessarily physical. They can be made to appear physical, but they are non-corporeal. So, you know, some people call them, you call them a shapeshifter. There's so many different words that are not necessarily the final and ultimate meaning for these things, that I think it's really important to at least get the ball rolling on talking more about it and sharing experiences. The cool thing about this is there is no worry about being right, being correct, having the ultimate answer. We are a work in progress, and all of this stuff happening right now is a demonstration of that, that we've gotten so far in the Western world with keeping everything very concrete, and there's an answer for everything, a reason for everything, a logical explanation. Okay, well, we've kind of peaked there. And now we have to go back and do the math and bring the other stuff back into the equation of not knowing and not having all of the answers. Our science tells us that. The science gives us that information that, you know, physics, we're still expanding, we're still advancing, we're still trying to figure some things out. We don't have the ultimate answer for the universe. And when you've got people like Stephen Hawking going back and redoing his math and reconfiguring, okay, well, this is what really happened, and this is what we know and what we don't know, and we came out of a big void into being. Well, maybe there was something before the big void. Maybe we came out of another thing and into the big void, and the only thing we can track now is the big void. I love it. I love it because it's advancing. It's changing. It's forcing a reconfiguring of everything we thought that we knew and all that we think can be. So with this, then take your pictures. Don't anticipate seeing something. But if you get a prompt and a sense that it might be important to take a picture, do it and see what comes up. At the Board Camp Crystal Mine, they have pictures of rocks levitating, and that's because they were with the things that they were experiencing, they had game cameras out. And from that, they had sightings of, there's a rock, there it is, it's clearly off the table, and then back down. So levitating rocks are part of that, which makes you wonder, okay, that's the crystal energy. Is it amplifying? Is it creating this levitation action? What is it? They don't know, but they do have that continuing. And with those kinds of things, at one point, Cheryl and Orville said that they were blaming a neighbor for putting rocks in the lawn when they would try to mow the lawn. There would be rocks. and they said they wish they could track the neighbor. I think he was a renter. Anyway, they wish they could track him down and say, oops, sorry, we had no idea. But that's the thing. They had no clue. And now they figure out this stuff's been going on. And there's not a person around going, relocating and picking up and redirecting, replacing all the rocks. It happens. There's no explanation. And until January of last year, they didn't believe any of it. February, when the sighting happened, everything changed. So in your life, there's probably something like that. If not, maybe there will be soon. In my life, these experiences happened since I was a kid, but I didn't have that same kind of complete and total, I guess, jumping from one belief and then having the whole thing shattered in an overnight experience. It's been a gradual awakening, a gradual sensing, a gradual expanding of abilities and of just patterns, of ways of seeing things and learning how to get energy, not necessarily through a linear method, but through either sensing and hearing words, seeing pictures, seeing images, then also the automatic writing something and then having to figure out, okay, is this the guide speaking or is this my higher self or is this an entity? Where is the information coming from? And when I've been able to pick up stuff for people, and I've had people want specific reads, and I know that some of them, to me, are termed mediumistic. They're more of a medium read. And I really don't want to be in that energy all the time. That I've had to block some of that. And not always with a fun result. One guy, deceased, was so irritated at me not helping him that he thought I was just completely and totally worthless and wanted to tell me that because I was ignoring him and only paying attention to, you know, my own very important things like paying bills, cleaning house, you know, stuff like that. My own, you know, friendships with living people. When he finally did get through to me and I was able to help him go forward and to the light and to the next, basically the next plane, then his people came to get him. They said thank you. He didn't want anything to do with me. He was like, there's no thank you there. He was gone. But the good thing was he was gone. He was gone. And then his people said thank you. And that was so real. It was an experience that I didn't realize that I was able to do until it happened. And I could feel and sense his frustration and complete just, you know, he was done being here, but he couldn't get out. He couldn't find the door. And so sometimes, you know, this stuff happens, and the indication for me was there was a paranormal activity. Things were breaking, and there was a dead, rotten fish smell. There were some things that I could pick up on that told me something was up. Didn't know what, but it turned out that once at one point I was still channeling at that time, but I was listening to the guidance from what I had connected with the nightlights, and then he came through. And I realized from the intensity level of the emotion that it was a person. So learning as I went through this process has been in some ways hit and miss and jump start and then backstep and then going forward and then, you know, falling down the rabbit hole and getting a whole bunch of stuff at once. But the cool thing is I'm seeing more of that in other people around me now and seeing the questioning instead of the rejection and the, oh, it's bad, or I might not know what I'm doing, so I'm just going to ignore it completely. And there's a good thing about having balance and having boundaries and having an awareness of your limitations and knowing that it's too frightening for me to get into at the moment, but I can take it baby steps. So if you understand that you already have very, very strong guides around you, very strong help, whether you listen is up to you. But if you are supposed to be here for a specific reason, then you have a guardian who will make sure that you're going to be present for whatever that purpose is. And everyone's different. But the thing I can suggest is to continue to trust and to expand your awareness and to know that this is a time of tremendous upheaval. And it's supposed to be that way. It's supposed to be that way because there are so many things happening on the planet that are part of the Earth going through its own evolution, through its own cycle, its own transition. And as an inhabitant who is on that, on the surface of that, it will require some ability to tap dance and to reconfigure what we think is solid and what we think for the long term will be healthy. And no judgment, a matter of knowing each and every one has to come to terms with what they are here to do for themselves and for their community, for the good of the greater. Once you get into judgment, you take yourself out of that. You get caught up in the minutia. You get caught up in the drama and basically distortion. So in order to stay away from that, you go back to how do you counter a really intense and overwhelming and challenging entity, energy, vibration, frequency? You have to meet it at a different level and take it away from the linear into what is my mindset and where can I learn to upgrade my responses so that I don't take it on as a lot of this is heavy energy, a cement, you know, like a block. Because that's a lot of times when we have a challenge, it's I'll meet it full force head on. Well, okay, then that's two fatalities. But if you meet it at a level that says, what are you here to teach me? What am I supposed to learn from this? How can I improve? How can I upgrade? There's a purpose and a reason for everything. And when you go back and say, what's the lesson? What's the message? What's the information? Then you have a much better, in my way of thinking, potential for accelerating, enhancing, upgrading your awareness. But it takes a little while to get used to having that mindset of what's the lesson? Where's the door? Where's the light? What's the purpose? What's the meaning? What information are you trying to give me? And so going back to dealing with entities and energies that can make things disappear right in front of you, or that can, this is what happened again recently, that two nights ago. And I've had the entities visit me before and stand beside the bed and say that I couldn't. I immediately started praying, and they said, "You can't do anything. You can't stop us. You can't make this go away." And I'm like, "But I can keep praying." So I continued to increase my light and work on increasing my vibration and bringing, you know, putting the white light into the space. And the next morning, they had removed my earrings. I kept praying. Okay, well, the earring, this time it was just one earring, but it was a reminder. It was a reminder. Some things we can't change. The external, the whatever it is, it will play out. But the power in the moment is to know, in whatever shape or form, the I, me, is present. And I do have the ability to keep my thoughts focused and on my own purpose for being. So no matter what that external thing happens, as it will, I have the power to hold my thoughts in solid state, in purpose, and knowing this is what I can do. And I can continue doing that. I don't have to react. I don't have to jump ship. I don't have to panic. I don't have to project all sorts of awful outcomes. I don't have to worry. I can trust and know that there's a reason and a purpose and a knowing that comes from allowing some things to play out so that I can understand there's something else going on. Something else is happening. So the last time it was two earrings and the entities. This time the entities, I didn't have that same sense. I do know the energy is amped up, and I do know the ringing in my ears continues to shift and let me know that the energy is upgrading. And some of that has to do with the rock energy. It has to do with the tree energy. It has to do with the animal energy. It has to do with the planet. It's taken a little while to understand that there are some places that are going to have a different response, and it isn't all about the other elements of electromagnetic that have to do with all of our electronics. There's more to it than that. Cell towers are, yes, a component, but this is also about the frequency of other things, other beings. And we are going through this incredible, incredible shift on the planet. So welcome to Evolution in Progress, conscious knowing, conscious allowing, conscious presence. Give yourself permission to know more, to elevate your insight, and to take notes. What's different? What's unusual? What stands out? What surprises you? How are things different than they used to be 5 years ago, 3 years ago, 2 years ago, a day ago, 50 years ago? Everything is different. And that is what makes life interesting. The highs, the lows, the in-betweens, and the challenges to remember, no matter where you are, what you're doing, you have the final say on what you think. You have the final say on determining how you're going to react, how you're going to respond, how you're going to integrate whatever chaos and flotsam and upheaval is happening in the center of your life. And sometimes a good way is to say, "Ah, there's a message here. Ah, I'm going to take a break and deal with it when I've had a chance to take a breath and say, I allow, I am learning. What can I learn from this? And how can I play it forward without doing any harm? How can I play it forward?" And we all win when I elevate my energy, my response from anger and antagonism into victim, feeling like I'm, you know, being put upon, to honey, if you can't take the heat, level up. Think it a different way. You have the power to think. Use it and be creative. Use your imagination. That's what we're doing right now. We are learning to play with our imagination at a higher level of awareness. Hey, you, thank you for listening. I appreciate your time. And I know, just like me, you're going through some really, really amazing, amazing times and changes and awareness. So I appreciate what you're doing. And know that somebody out there is keeping their eye on you. You are not alone. If you need help, ask for it. Till next time, stay curious. Pay attention. Take notes. Even if they're little notes. Post-it notes. And have fun.